The title of our present conference is a Latin word, suscipe. It is traditional, when completing the spiritual exercises, to close with a meditation on the love of God. St. Ignatius calls this meditation a contemplation for obtaining love. Contemplatio ad amorem. What I would like to do in this conference is to go over with you what St. Ignatius says about love. What it means, how it is practiced, and how we can grow in the love of God. I will not cover all that Ignatius says on this subject, but rather concentrate on what I consider, for our present purpose, most important. I wish to close the conference with the title of the conference, namely, the suscipe, which is the first word of the exalted prayer that, in my estimation, is a perfect act of the perfect love of God. First, we address ourselves to the simple fact that there are two kinds of love. We might say there are two kinds of ways that people show their love. They are a love in words and a love in deeds. This distinction should be familiar to us from the words of our Savior, who, as we recall, made it very clear how the person who loves him is not the one who says, Lord, Lord, but the one who keeps my word. There is a proverb in the English language that goes like this: they do not love that do not show their love. Nothing demands more proof in this world than love. Nothing needs more proof than love. As all lovers know, do something, show me, prove to me that what you tell me is true. This is the unvarying theme of the love tales of all nations. If we really love someone, we show that we do by what we do. No doubt, we begin with words, but we can never stop there and convince the one we're talking to that we mean it. That's our first brief reflection, borrowing from Ignatius. Love exchanges with the one it loves. If the first law of love is that it shows itself in deeds and is not satisfied with words, the second law follows on the first. I will now quote at length. Love consists in mutual interchange on either side. That is to say, in the lover giving and communicating with the beloved what he has or can give, and on the other hand, in the beloved sharing with the lover, so that if the one has knowledge, honor, riches, he shares it with a person who does not have these, and thus the one shares everything with the other. Before we go on, let's point out just three little things. First, this is a mutual interchange. It is not merely that the one gives to the other, but both exchange with one another. Secondly, giving not only what he has, but even what he can give. Love is inventive, creative. It is so eager to give that even if it does not yet have, it will seek to acquire and accumulate. Talk about the madness of love. We'll seek to obtain in order to give up. That you don't explain. That you either experience or you don't have it. As I have so many times had to tell my Jesuit scholastic students, many by the time I taught them 22, 25 years already in school, bored, overwhelmed, just plain tired, more classes, more books. What for? What for? This is the language of love. You're not acquiring this for yourself. It's for those who in God's providence will enter your life. You feel you don't need it. Who doubts it? But others do. So the second feature of love is it not only shares what it has, but it actually seeks to enrich itself. Wrong. Seeks to accumulate and acquire in order to give. And then shares everything with the other. Love does not hold back anything. And the word is, does not hold back anything. Indeed, in the measure that it holds back, to that extent, the love is not yet perfect. This second law of love is also a matter of common experience. If we love someone, we want to share what we have with the person we love. Love does not want to see another person lacking what I have. Love does not want to retain anything that the one I love I see is lacking. Love is uncomfortable. Can you imagine? To enjoy warmth. If another person is cold, or food, if another is hungry, or prestige, if another is in disgrace, or even the least trifle of knowledge that it does not want to share. Love, by its very nature, is communicative. And the test of true love is the willingness to give up in order to share. So much, very sketchily, about the two laws of love. The history of God's love for me having reflected on these primary postulates of love, we transfer all that we have seen and much more that we know to the evidence of God's love for each one of us individually. It is imperative that we make this part of the meditation as personal and particular as possible. Why? Because the secret key that will unlock my potential love for God is the prior awareness on my part of God's specific, individual, particularized, minutely detailed love for me. And here I can't be too particular. In fact, let me tell you something. Unless I'm very particular in my awareness of God's love for me, I will not be particular in my love for Him. If I don't see His love in the little things, then I will scarcely realize that I'm supposed to show mine in little things. And as we know, where there's genuine love, it's the little things that count. That is why I would call this part of the meditation the history of God's love for me. It is a history whose span is exactly my age, beginning, however, 9 months before I was born. It began on what we might call not our birth, but our life day. A great Jesuit scientist, whom I know, recently recommended that I recommend to people to begin celebrating each year, isn't that beautiful, their life day. Nine months before what we should also celebrate, our birthday, to witness to the world our appreciation for having begun our life the moment we were conceived. It began then on my life day. In His goodness, God kept me alive in my mother's womb. We didn't think we'd be grateful for that, did we? Well, times have changed. And then allowed me, thank God, to see the light of day. He gave me the tender care of a mother who nursed and nourished me. He gave me my body and limbs. He gave me a mind and a will, emotions and feelings, a sense of sight and touch and smell and hearing and taste. For the last 20 years of her life, my mother lost her sense of taste. How we appreciate things after we lose them. God gave me the precious gift of faith and the grace of baptism that made me a child of God. He gave me an education and training and the opportunity of growing in body, mind, and spirit. He gave me Himself so often in Holy Communion and forgave me so often in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. He gave me Himself in the Blessed Sacrament just to be near me. He wants to be close to me. That's what love is all about. He gave me so many wonderful people who over the years have been kind to me. And, in spite of myself, patient with me. Who have shared so much of what God gave them with me. Who have in many cases spent themselves on my behalf. Who speak with me and give me the pleasure of sharing my thoughts with them, which under heaven, after the possession of God, I think is the greatest joy on earth. Sharing spirit with spirit.
For the conclusion of this homily, please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.